call the meeting order. The memo that just passed out, you just recapped the amendment we adopted to a bill yesterday. It's scheduled to be cleaned up by Thursday morning, so we reported out now. Should be able to be read across the clerk's desk on Thursday and then on the calendar on Friday. That's the minimal of it. Mr. Lassen?
Good morning, guys. The meeting we're having is just tomorrow. We have anything to do with it.
They're going to talk with us about the presumptive sentence.
Not to propose any changes.
No, they're not. They're not going to get down to that level, but they're going to, you know, tell us to discuss, since they have been involved by the presumptive sentence, and what their feelings are about it.
Are we meeting?
I think it's 3 o'clock.
No, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
3 o'clock
tomorrow. Over the
courtroom. Yes, well,
3 o'clock.
Courtroom A. Yeah, 3 o'clock tomorrow, same time, courtroom A. I appreciate it if everybody be there.
Well, the bill was in the calendar system. Unless I missed out the calendar system. That's one session, that's the third session. And the bill was eventually 18 quarters of the day. You have to get rid of the calendar.
Yeah, you're right, that's what I said. That we have those bills this morning. What we have to do. Okay, well, yeah, we'll just switch it.
Do you want us to move on the committee report on the criminal code today?
Yeah.
I move to pull the board of bills. I want to move. Go ahead. Let me make the motion. Chairman, I move that we report to the RCS or Hospital 651 on the committee reflecting the amendments adopted yesterday.
On Friday.
We really ought to have somebody with us. This is the street and our old trumpet playing from Henry Purcell, right? Well, this is the do-nothing legislature.
Yeah. Okay, the subject of today's real meeting is House Bill 394. Okay, this is House Bill 396 has been substituted by the State Affairs Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nancy Carlson. I'm the administrative assistant for the Alaska Public Officers Commission here in the Juneau branch office, and I've been asked to come today and testify on this bill on behalf of both the commission and Randall Burns, our executive director. I'd like to just say a few statements before we begin. As many of you are probably aware, the lobbying bill, or the statute as it now exists, is a pretty complex piece of legislation. What the commission has attempted to do, they worked very diligently with House State Affairs during the summer in the interim committee. And these are the recommendations that they have come up with. I have a few more that I would like to add today. But most of the bill is a lot of housekeeping. The changing of placing different sections into the proper section where they belong, commas added, and this type of thing. But I believe there are a number of 4 to 5 major areas of the bill that need to be addressed today. And I know it'll take some time, so as far as the house cleaning, if we could just go through those, and I'll point out, and then if you have any questions at that time, you can raise questions on those. Would that be all right?
Yeah, just one question. Did you or any of the districts need to prepare the sexual analysis of the bill?
Not in something that we could be presented to you. I have rationale with me today that is a comparison of the statute that presently exists, the draft that we worked on, or the original House Bill 396, and then the draft that was originally presented last year.
Let's see.
The House bill and then the draft that we worked
adopted,
on. But, I couldn't type it up and present it to you.
I think
what
would be helpful is just an analysis of they only touch the
As I said, a lot of it is simply housekeeping. The first part, 2445-031, deals with the commissions and the powers of the powers and duties of the commission. And we've changed by February 1 to within 30 days after the convening of session, because as you well know, the session doesn't convene until the 10th or 11th, sometime after that, as far as the time for getting the annual report out. The second one, hold hearings and conduct investigation, was simply changing the words around. The
section 2445-031.
We have the hold hearings and conduct investigation, but it reads better if you conduct investigation and then hold a hearing. Section 3 was simply removed from, it used to be under 041, which is the information that is required of lobbyists to report on their registration statement. This directory of lobbyists is a duty of the commission and therefore was placed under the powers and duties. Section 4 is also a change that deals with the exemption section. A new section has been added to where an individual who spends less than $100 lobbying a public official does not have to report any of his activities. But we've added here 15 days for those people who meet that threshold when we're talking about the time of registration. Because we didn't feel that if someone all of a sudden feels that they meet the threshold, they find that they have spent in excess of $100 on a public official, which would require them to register and report, that they can immediately have to run to the office and pick up a registration form. So we've allowed them a time span of 15 days after they find themselves meeting the threshold for registration to register with the commission. Section D, or Part D there, is simply a cleanup once again. 051, which deals with the type of information that is requested to be reported on the monthly reports by legislative lobbyists and quarterly reports by administrative lobbyists. As you can see, we've added the line for each period or portion of a period in which the lobbyist continues to engage in lobbying activities. This was felt necessary because many people register late in the month and we feel that and don't realize that they have to submit a report for any portion of the month in which they registered. We presently have a technique to where if I find that someone has filled out a late registration, I will send them a letter stating that unless we hear otherwise from them, we will consider that the last 3 days, the last 4 days, are included in the report that they have submitted. But a lot of people just fail to pick up this time period, so we've added that. They've also added, regardless of the amount of expenditures made or payments received, because a lot of people don't realize that they have to report whether there is any compensation given during that time period. Also, people are unaware sometimes, too, that it's on an accrual basis, and so they'll say, well, I haven't received reimbursement for my expenses yet, as of yet, but I'm expecting to do so. Well, the lobbyists are required to report on the accrual basis when the expense is incurred. So therefore, they would report the fact that this money was spent, and they will be receiving it at a later date. So basically, we added these two lines. Our legal counsel thought that it was necessary. Now, section 20, it's still part of section 5 there, 0511, is a major change in the bill. The source of income, as you are probably aware, defined in 3950, which is the conflict of interest law, states that you have to report any capital gains of over $100. Now, this seems rather ridiculous for the lobbyists reporting all of their income, their capital gains during the year of over $100, when the only thing that the lobbying bill is interested in is what they are being paid and their reimbursement of expenses for their lobbying efforts. Therefore, the commission has changed the sources of income to the source of payment, because this, we received a lot of complaints about this. $39.50 says that you'll report your source of income includes capital gains of anything, capital gains of the $100 in the average per year. Oh, your income including, I'm sorry, capital gains that you'll receive from stocks or from interest or from the selling of a house or from rentals.
You're not
No, I'm not. I didn't include. You have salary as well as the capital gains that you report in 3950. It says right there on section 3 of the bill, the capital gains of over, source of income, capital gains of over $100 in average. No. What I'm saying is that they use, originally, it says the source of income as defined in 3950-208. That's correct.
What you're talking about here,
source of payment.
To the lobbyist?
Mm-hmm. He has to report the source of payment.
Any income
for him? No, just for his lobbying, just strictly for his lobbying activity. That's why we changed it from a source of income as defined in 3950 to the source of payment.
We go all the way over to the next page. That's source of payment, receiving consideration for directly or indirectly support of my information.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, then the other change is 0511 was to include, unless otherwise exempt, under 161A, A1, A5, or E. This was done so that people could refer automatically to the exemption section to find if they know where they are and to find out if in fact they did have to report. Section 2 is also, or Part 2 is also another large change. The law as it presently is written requires that the lobbyists break down their expenditures or their disbursements into three areas: food and beverage, living accommodations, and travel. The commission felt that having it broken down into these three categories is not necessarily solid. In the original House Bill 396, they asked, therefore, that the amount of food and beverage, living accommodations, and travel, which is expended upon the public official, and the name of that public official be given. Going back through the history of this bill, we found out that it was against legislative history, and therefore the commission changed their amendment to they asked originally that the name of the public official be given, and no one seemed to want this idea, lobbyists as well as legislators included. So what the commission has done here is asked that the lobbyists give a total amount in food and beverage expended on all public officials, and that the name of the public official or the member of the immediate family of a public official does not have to be included.
Okay.
We feel that this serves a very good purpose. I'm not aware, or I don't know if you're aware of the reports that came out last year, or the beginning of this year in the press, regarding the information that was given out by the ACOC as far as the expenditures and how much money lobbyists were spending. One report picked up a figure and it said $20,000 expended on each of the 60 legislators in the state. Another one picked up another various figure of $16,000. Well, in actuality, what was spent was there was a total of $1,343,000 that was expended by the various 176 companies that were registered as employers. $1 million of that went directly to the individual lobbyists for salary. The other $343,000 was expensive, but it also included many of the expenses that the lobbyist himself has to pay. For instance, hotel accommodations, his travel back and forth to his home, and different things like this. We feel it's beneficial not only to the lobbyist, but to the legislature as well, to have a figure saying the total amount that the lobbyists did spend on the public official. And then the other people, or the rest of it, they would know was spent either in the area of salary or in the area of personal expenses for the lobbyists. The next section. The next three sections deal with transactions, either in gifts with a business entity or a transaction of exchange of money, goods, and services between the lobbyist and the public official. Originally, this one read, the date and nature of any gift exceeding $100 in value made to a public official. This would allow gifts of $99 or $100 a day to be given and never have to be reported. So we have added in the aggregate per year, and also we've added the immediate family of a public official should also be included in this section. The same stands for exchanges, which is part four there, of money, goods, and services. This could be transacted $100 a day and never be reported. So we've changed it to $100 in the aggregate a year, and then it would become reportable. Section, part five, the only one that's different a little. This is the exchange of the name and address of a business entity in which the lobbyist knows or has reason to know that a public official is a proprietor, partner, director, etc., and with whom the lobbyist engages in an exchange of money, goods, or services, or anything of value, and the nature and date of the exchange. Well, as you are well aware, there are over 400 public officials in this state, and a lot of them have interests in many businesses. We can take the example of John Abel right here in Juneau. It's nothing for someone to go in and spend $100 in his store for repairs. Therefore, he sees himself at the threshold of $100 is far too low and would like to see that raised to $1,000. The notice of termination has not changed. Okay. Section... John Doe came down.
John Doe says he comes down to you know, and he enters the bell down, he takes two bad and let's play friends, he takes over the mic, he enters, they spend $140 for a package, the other man is $150, I think.
Wow.
Well, you know, the price is paid over time. So what do you mean to set that about his bill? Did he have to let you know?
Well, there are various circumstances. Is he being paid to do this? Is it forwarding his own efforts of his business? Are his expenses being reimbursed?
Is that important?
Yes, would this bill, yes, it is important.
Well, let's first answer it this way. If he owns a business, he hears this bill now, and he's affected his business, and he finds out, and I think he's using an asshole, and he finds out, and he doesn't tell him how this bill's going to affect him. Well, he's going to take it down again. What kind of position is he in?
Well, would you like to look at the case, Kevin? He would have to register, yes. The exemption, it's $100. If you spend over $100 in the aggregate a year or on behalf of the public official, you have to register.
I don't think he can kind of make it. $10,000 covered.
I'd like to see that one raised, but we can make some changes.
Got a front-end line.
Well, Don, that's good. Yeah, but at least you don't want to do it.
What's that one?
Yeah, but if anybody built a house in that place, you could make anybody in this town would buy a house that place.
A registered lobbyist would have to report, not just anyone. Someone that qualifies as a registered lobbyist.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay.
Let's see if we can move a little faster. Ultimately, make it.
All right. 2445061 is also a large change. As you may be aware, this bill is drafted as a California bill. They have two classifications of employers. One is the individual that employs a lobbyist. The other one is the individual or person who expends over $250 in the aggregate per year in an attempt to influence legislative or administrative action. There are various portions of the bill as it presently exists which make it ambiguous because we don't have the second classification. Our bill only refers to individuals that employ lobbyists. Therefore, by changing on line 18, simply the and to an or makes direct payments, directly or indirectly makes payments over $250 in the aggregate would have to register. It could be an outside firm, anyone who might send letters or take out large newspaper ads and so on. Well, 3 on that page simply changes the employer's requirements from reporting on the accrual basis, or from reporting on the cash basis, sorry, to the accrual basis. The employer seemed to want this, so the commission felt that it was fine. On part 4, part 6, and part 8 on page 5 are simply what they do once again, just like in the lobbyist section, we're talking about employers now. The employer will need to report in the aggregate of years, gifts exceeding $100. They'll need to report exchanges with the public official of money, goods, and services, and they'll also need to report transactions with a business entity. Publication of reports, section 7, simply cleanup. It says that we will put the reports in all of the district offices as described in 1513. There are 9 district offices. The commission feels it's sufficient if they are in the Anchorage office here in Juneau or the Capitol. And if there is no district office in the Capitol, there will be the Lieutenant Governor and the Legislative Affairs Library. Preservation of records simply changes, takes out the word shall be made and just shall be available for inspection, talking about the books and the receipts and the accounts of lobbyists or their employers. Once again, let's see, B on that is simply cleanup, not putting these reports all over the state when the commission doesn't feel it's necessary. Section 9, all it does is that the way it read before, that you couldn't even speak to someone and ask them to lobby for you before that person had registered. We've changed that around. Now you can talk to someone and ask them to lobby. And just as long as that person does register after you engage them to do that. They've taken out in part 2 there, or section 10, taken out a qualified voter, and a complaint can now be filed by an individual, so the commission called no need to be a qualified voter. This is one of the changes we're asking for in section 11. I don't have enough of the original draft to go around. I don't know what happened in Senate State Affairs, but it's part of the exemption section, and it says an individual who lobbies without receipt of payment, compensation, or other economic consideration, and makes no disbursement for expenditures in excess of $100 in the aggregate a year on behalf on behalf of a public official and member of the family of a public official to influence legislative or administrative action is exempt. Somehow or another, this section B, which is line 26, was put back in. The commission did not agree with that. They specifically had it lined out. It's in the draft, and it did not come out in the committee substitute, and I don't know what the problem was there.
You want to
we wanted to be deleted. It would stop after to influence legislative or administrative action.
What's the
Okay. Section 12 is an individual that doesn't receive economic consideration other than travel and personal living expenses would be exempt as long as the source reimbursement was not an organized association, corporation, labor union, business or professional entity. We had a lot of, not a lot, but a few people last year that did, their friends all got together and one person was sent down here to testify in a particular bill. And there was no organization to their manner. They were just a group of people. They would not be required to register and report. Somebody gave 10, another person gave 25, and this is how the person had their expenses, the individual had their expenses paid for. Okay, Section 14 creates a new classification of individuals. It's called the representational lobbyist. The representational lobbyist is, if I'll do an example here, the National Association of Social Workers would be a good one. They send someone who they do not pay, they simply pay their expenses. They're not compensated in any other way. And there are a number of associations like this. These people would not be required to report monthly. The only thing that would be required of them is a registration as a representational lobbyist, and the National Association, like all other employers, would report on a quarterly basis, alleviating a lot of paperwork for these individuals who are not compensated for anything more than their travel and their living expenses.
Does that mean they can't be a part of that organization? In other words, if some organization take their, one of their people to pay salary,
he's being paid for his time down here, then he has to register and report. Yes, he's on salary. They have to use somebody to sign in. Well, they could send an employee down. The employee would simply have to report.
He wouldn't fall under the exemption.
You would not fall under the exemption. Okay. And that's if we define travel and personal living expenses. 171 is the definition of administrative action. This is basically taken out of California law once again. The commission would like to see the following revision from what is in front of you. First, to begin, to read that sentence, I'd like to have it say, administrative action means a decision made or action taken by a public official of a state agency. Administrative action does not include, we would like to add the words proceeding or action to A, proceeding only to B, proceeding or action to C.
I don't see how it reads.
Okay.
Where would the words appear?
Okay, the says administrative action. That's correct.
Okay, all right. So what, just go down. In A, you would add what?
I'd add both proceeding or action. B would be proceeding. C is proceeding or action. D is proceeding. They would delete E altogether. F would be proceeding. And G would be proceeding or action. The ones that include both proceeding or action, as you can see from here, are basically decisions that will have to be made in accordance with existing law. The other ones, for instance, a proceeding which an action was taken involving the purchase, we would be talking about monetary things in the other ones where we just put proceeding and therefore would have to be held a public hearing where these people would be exempt from reporting. If they did any lobbying, administrative lobbying privately, then it would be a reportable item. We've added under influence legislative or administrative action, section 17, but does not include simple inquiry for routine actions made necessary by law. We had a lot of complaints that you simply call up to find out how to fill out a form, for instance, criminal justice planning, fill out your grant form, then it was considered an administrative action and it was reportable. We've added this. We think that alleviates a lot of the problems. Yes.
We're in here. This deals with the public employees that we're talking about. What's the public officials? Is it included in here where
set up is that all the sections that were repealed aren't in the last, or the last sentence back here. So I was going to bring that up finally in the last, in my last.
Sure.
I've only got a few more things to say, and then I'll be finished. Most of this is simply cleanup, as I say. Public official or public officer instead of public office. We give a definition down here of the source of payment. And that's basically it. Except for, as I say, you'll see the repeal section. 2445-161A2, previously read. Exemption. This chapter does not apply to an elected or appointed state or municipal public officer or an employee of the state or a municipality acting in his official capacity or in the scope of his employment. This section has been repealed. This would require that state employees who do lobby, such as myself, where I come over here to testify on the bills for the submission, I would be required to submit my time to my agency, and therefore my salary would be prorated. Now, we realize this might involve a little bit of paperwork, so the system that the commission thought best would be to have them handle this on the same level as the representational lobbyist. For instance, let's say Randall Burns, our executive director, came down today to testify. He would have to report his travel and his living expenses, plus prorate his salary. He would also have to report my time spent here. This would be done by the administrator of the agency, the executive director, whoever, on a quarterly basis only. I would submit my time to him. I would register and submit my time to him. And on a quarterly basis, the administrator, the department head, figures it all out and submits one report as the employer of the lobbyist, just like the representational lobbyist does. We felt the best place to insert this was in another section of the law. I haven't written it up, but I could get it written up rapidly if the committee was interested in exempting or in having employees of the state register in this form.
Could you prepare a written form and bring back to us all the amendments that you suggested to this plan, the ones that you're suggesting in addition to the
question? Sure, no problem.
Your next comment,
it
doesn't include employees.
It doesn't?
It doesn't. You mean
he simply caught you in the hallway or something like this?
Or whatever, he just wrote me a letter saying we can talk to him.
Repeal of this amendment should not take place.
That is an exemption right now.
Right.
And they would
this
be,
would repeal
eliminate that exemption. It's state and municipal officials and employees. I'm not personally opposed to registering. That is what I'm trying to get at here. It's just that suddenly this whole repealer section becomes, or it looks to me like it becomes the Full Employment Act for the ACOC. You have not only individuals such as myself, and I think Mr. Specking, certainly his job falls into the same type of a situation that mine does. In other words, we are hired primarily just to do legislative work. There are other individuals in the various departments that are hired to do that. We also have this exemption applying to administrative action taken. By repealing this exemption, we would be faced with a situation such as my talking to the governor being an action that can be construed as an administrative action and having to report or being required to report or any other individual from outside of that department. Furthermore, you have the requirement that anybody who is a lobbyist is a, their employers, I believe, have to report also. Who would my employer be? The Department of Natural Resources or the governor? There's no distinction made between one department and another. If I talk to people from the Department of Revenue, this is influencing administrative action. And of course, it's policy issues. The list of what they call administrative actions here, which was pointed out before the meeting, would exclude that type of action, at least administratively. I do not see excluding that type of action. I do not see it as a matter when I go in to discuss policy matters with the governor or with members from the Department of, or employees of the Department of Revenue or employees from the Department of Environmental Conservation. I do not see that necessarily covered here as an exemption under the lobbying thing. The other comment in this regard has to do with employees of the legislature. Of course, this would imply that you apply to employees of the legislature. If when your aides, Mr. Chairman, call me to ask me regarding certain administrative actions being taken by our department, of course, that would be an effect to, as I construe the law, an effect to influence administrative action. Of course, they would be required to register. Similarly, if your employees went to another committee to advocate a position which you held, that also, I believe, would be covered under this.
What could that be? I don't remember doing anything they asked you.
No, I'm not talking about me. I'll present the list to the ACOC later tonight. And also, you know, interagency discussions. Just one of the things that occurred to me when I saw Mr. Rubin down here. Of course, any of his actions, again, would be, you would have to report it. What you're doing is you're creating jobs for a lot of people. If that's, you know, what you're looking to try and do out of yourself, I don't think that that's the purpose. But certainly any time that Mr. Rubenstein confers with the legislative branch or confers with the executive branch regarding any policy matter at all, that would be a reportable circumstance, if you will. And the attendant things would have to go along with it. The exemption, which the previous witness has regarded as treating individuals as representational lobbyists, certainly the job that I hold would not qualify under the definition of representational lobbyists, which is laid out in the bill. Not under that exemption. I'm under 24, 45, 6, 161, 82.
A1 says you're indemnified to an individual lobbying without payment for compensation.
That's correct. I don't fit under A1.
Yes, but there's the word and, not or, between A and B.
I don't have the law.
So, you
exempt citizens.
I circled the wrong one.
The exempt citizens on one section of the agenda.
That was my fault.
So two separate.
All right, I'm sorry.
I'm.
You know, when you say serve, it's employees or people have to, they can go out and lobby, whatever it is. Why is it so absurd? Why is it that to serve and yet we would let a trooper can come up and kind of take this way and it is legislated in my district and you want to go to bill. Why is that suddenly he, you, and everybody else is that legislated?
Why is he accused?
Why would
well, that would depend upon how he came.
If we're going to make citizens do it, why don't we make everybody else do it?
I think that the distinction is, that you're making is not an adequate distinction. He would do it only if he was doing it in present law. He would do it not as a trooper. He would not have to report or to register being a state trooper. He would have to report if he was being paid, I guess, on a regular basis or on whatever meets the qualification. In other words, the citizen exemption.
He is on a salary. He's working for the state of Alaska.
Who's he a business and who's he lobbying for himself?
I don't know. He's coming over here. You know, it's not to his interest. It must be to the state of Alaska because he wants law enforcement bill passed.
Okay, if Dick Burton comes over here, Jim Shuffler comes down here from the passion off the road and he says, hey, Ed, we like this bill. We like it because X, Y, and Z. He, under current law, would not have to
register.
Well,
why would that require a citizen?
Why would
that require a citizen for 2 hours and one quarter?
Well, I'm not going to defend that law. If that's what you're trying to get me to do. The other distinction is, I know, but the other distinction that you're making, of course, is that what we are being paid, what all municipal employees and state employees are being paid, is a matter of public record. What the amount of money being spent to influence legislation by private corporations, Exxon, Arco, you know, oil companies or pipelines or what have you, per sanctuary people, is not a matter of public record. There's a difference there. And under this law, it becomes a matter of public record. So then everybody knows. There is, I think, the distinction that can be made between a public employee and a private person.
This is the only thing
they get? Yes, as I say, this is not really, I mean, that's the only thing I want to speak to is just that removal of that exemption. I think it's the results that will be worked. It's not a thing that it's not a bad idea to look into it further, but I think that the results that they're going to work by doing it this way are going to be really a certain result. You'll concede. Especially when you talk about administrative action.
There's questions from committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just read this. It's saying basically the same thing Pat said, but our concern is Jim Raleigh with the Alaska Municipal League. Our concern with CSHB 396 is on page 11, section 22. We note that 2445161A2 is repealed. Mr. Chairman, the Alaska statutes define a lobbyist as a person who is employed and receives payments or who contracts for economic consideration, including reimbursement for reasonable travel and living expenses, to communicate directly with any public official for the purpose of influencing legislative or administrative action if a substantial or a regular portion of the activities for which he receives consideration is for the purposes of influencing legislative or administrative action, or a person who represents himself as engaging in the influencing of legislative or administrative action as a business, occupational, or profession. The section which is to be repealed is an exemption for an elected or appointed state or municipal official or an employee of the state or the municipality acting in his or her official capacity or within the scope of his or her employment. Mr. Chairman, in the case of our municipal officials coming to the Capitol or speaking to the administration in their own area is to the benefit of the state. Many of the actions taken by the legislature and the administration directly affect municipal government, and it would be the state's laws for an official to be reluctant to speak because he or she was not registered.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. on the fire wheel.
Well, I'm not sure if
In fact, my my report would have rendered saying whether it had been a mysterious, unexplainable $40,000 retainer, or what it was, in fact, $173 I received after the fact as a contingency fee for settling the case involving damage to a fence around the Standard Oil Station. Not they never retained me any longer after that when they saw that what I didn't do for the first bill attack or any gas in the ground. Okay. And the point is the intention of both of the laws is to disclose information that can be of use for people like newspaper reporters and others who want to at least start asking the right questions about where areas where there might be influence cutting. I don't think we can legislate morality, and I think that there's no way to proceed in the code of ethics except just swearing fealty and expecting everybody to act like this. Christian ladies and gentlemen, or Judaic ladies and gentlemen, or something like that. The whole lobbying conflict of interest thing has to be addressed in a realistic way. And I think that the people who are seeking to have them put in accomplish something good by getting them on the books by rather brute strength political tactics, but the animals that they put on the books are almost indefensible for the purposes they were intended. At least they're on the books, and over the next 10 years, maybe we'll make them work in some other way.
I'm going to cut my speech down a great deal because a lot of them
everybody's preempted.
Not really. A lot of them have, but I think it's important. I wish I could get a copy of what Chief Justice just said to the legislature up there when he talked about the importance of a strong judiciary, protecting the right of people's freedom of speech, freedom of press, and freedom of privacy. Now, Mr. Brown said about the same thing that I was going to say probably a little more after. This law, I think, was a mistake in the beginning. It's one of those things that we saw during the criminal code that where we said, what is a scene, or should we regulate the transportation of obscene material and stuff? What we got into there is, yes, that would all be good, but are we going to take that step and infringe upon people that basic right under the Constitution? Now, I don't know what our aim was originally. I guess it was to catch crooked lobbyists and maybe an overreaction because of some Washington things and stuff. But we set out to do something here that I think should be stopped. And if you've ever seen bureaucracy in action, where each year they come back with more people and more regulations to regulate the very private lives of every citizen more and more, you have to register with the government to petition it, which under the Constitution says you should have a freedom of speech, right to petition your government's grievances. It doesn't say anything about having to register with it or what your purpose is. Now, the right to know by people what goes on down here, we have to consider it all legitimate unless someone wants to accuse someone of a crime. But so this legitimate action down here, legitimate grievances by citizens, shouldn't be hampered by any type of legislation foolishness like this. If a guy wants to stand out in front of this council building on a box and make all his speeches, I don't care if he's the president of Exxon or who he is, he can write anything he wants to, put any publication he wants to, do anything he wants to, and say anything to me he wants to as an elected representative. The key to the thing is where we should draw the line in. If he offers me any gratuity to influence my vote or I accept one, then I think the public has the right there to step in. That's why I'm offered that amendment, and I offered a bill in state affairs, and I have an amendment drawn up there to another bill. But basically, in essence, that people do register with the government as lobbyists, so we know who they are, and there's a catalog of who represents who. The other two things are is that it's a violation of the law. It's a $5,000 fine or 1 year in jail if I accept any of the things of anybody for the purpose of influencing my vote, and it's the same $5,000 fine or a year in jail for anybody that offers it to me. So from that point on, unless you want to start legislating morality and who might or might not, and keep going on with this mess, I think it's time for the legislature to really stop and say, well, our intentions were good. This is not proving to be a workable thing. But what is there in government when we get out here and we find out we're having people have to speak more than 4 hours in one quarter with an individual has to register with the government? Last year I killed on the floor the same amendment that these same people had put in that says any two people who want to help a candidate in the state has to register with the government, which means any man and wife in a neighborhood who wanted to work for a candidate would have had to register if they had got out and worked.
I voted with you, remember?
That's true, but see, this is what's happening in this bureaucracy going. Why don't we, as recognizing this, stop this foolishness now? Go back and make it a crime for me as a public official to accept anything, make it a crime for all company people or any other lobbyists to offer me anything, and The only exemption I put in there, and it's arguable, I said excluding food and drink, because that protects the guy that comes down. Maybe a constituent of mine, he wants to take me to dinner. I don't care about the lobbyists. I'm talking about the average John Doe citizen who wants to run around and buy a meal. If a guy's going to sell his government out or his integrity out for a hamburger and a bottle of beer, that bill isn't going to do any good.
Well, like Wellington, traveling to Pete Wellington,
but if anybody, I think if that's where we ought to draw the line and face up to it. And I don't mind the lobbyists, and the lobbyists don't mind registering. If that's important that we know who they are and catalog who you're representing. But for God's sake, under the Constitution, I can't see how any of us could believe that we're going off on the right side here, where we're just constantly infringing on people's rights. That comes to the last part, and that's the ethics. I think that even under my bill, there comes a question of what is, say my neighbor has to be Henry Pratt, a lobbyist, and we exchange dinners and go back and forth to each other's yard, and I borrow his hole and he gives me something. If we can maybe even, I think we're all on a generator together, so if there's any of those questions, I'd like to be able to call up an ethics committee and ask them, say, here's what I'm entering into with this individual, or maybe a legislator or selling me, or somebody selling me a book. I'd like to have an ethics committee to check with, at least register what I'm doing, to make sure it's good and proper. I have no objections to that. But for John Doe citizen, the average citizen of this state, I would oppose any law that requires him to register with the government to exercise his freedom of speech, his freedom of press, or his freedom to petition the government. And I don't care if he belongs to private industry or not, private enterprise. There's nothing in the Constitution that says because I own a grocery store and I want to fly down here and fight a bill that's involving the price of lettuce, that I have to register with the government because I own a business. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I'm a private citizen, and I think I can petition my government. And I can't stress strongly enough that this is the time for us to control this bill and get this stuff stopped right now. I don't accuse anyone who started that. I know how it started. I think it had public support. We had one thing in mind, but it didn't work. And where does government say, hey, wait a minute, this isn't working. We're getting way too far out. Let's go back to ground zero and fix some good laws and make it a violation of law to do something that catch the man. We have a judicial system to process. And I just hope that the committee will think strongly before we continue to perpetuate something like this. Thank you.
Never give everybody a time to say.
I don't
want to
go as far as
that.
I'm sure
the budget takes over the rest. Well, we'll bring this bill up again.
I mean, I presume
if anybody else
might
have
okay.
What? We had a problem with House Bill 97. It was just printed up wrong. It wasn't the version that we reported out. We had to bring it back and get a new committee substitute printed up. It was the correct one. Okay, so we have to have a motion to report to any substitute House Bill 97 out of committee and send the new committee report.
Okay, I'll do it.
Just a little.
No, we already reported the bill out, and then when we had it printed up there, one of the amendments we had wasn't added on.
Just a little.
Of the technicality.
We
had to bring it back here to do it.
Sorry, I missed that meeting. What are we doing, fooling around with non-uniform amendments to the